Lima, the capital city of Peru, is vibrant and somehow chaotic. It's on the Pacific coast of South America. Known for its rich history, Lima offers a captivating blend of ancient ruins, colonial architecture, and modern developments. Lima is also famous for its gastronomic scene, with a large variation of Peruvian dishes like ceviche and lomo saltado. And this is what these 7 podcast shows are about. I talk to 6 of those amazing, inspiring chefs. My name is Sabine Goetels. I am your host. Listen on this channel or watch on YouTube and get inspired. In this episode, it's nice to meet
Charles and Dave. You're one of a kind, because you are a self-made baker, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, not sure how much of a one of a kind I am, but indeed, I am a self-made baker. I haven't trained formally as a baker, so I have a degree in engineering first. And after a while, I decided to make a big change in my life and went into the theater acting in London. So, and through this experience of living overseas in England, I started to discover the world around food, the kind of simple, European-influenced, artisanal, farm-to-table food. And I fell in love with that culture. So I started working in those different places, in pubs and cafes. And of course, I started enjoying it as well. So it became part of my life. I started looking for places that I enjoyed to work at. And not only for the money, you know. The money came through the work. So I looked for good jobs, good places, good food. And I was fed as well in those places, so it was great because I was eating really nice food and also learning a lot of things about food and getting in touch with producers and farmers and bakers. And I started to fall in love with that world. And yeah.
Was it difficult to make a choice then leave the acting job and go for the other thing?
I don't see it as a change. I see it as an organic thing that started happening naturally. So it never was a decision, like I'm gonna leave this and start this other thing. It just happened. It all just happened. And so that's why it hasn't been a struggle for me. To, you know, what's going to happen next? Do you want to have to decide in between bread and theater, or you know, running a business and then, or you know, it's never been an issue. It's just all happened very organically and naturally. I never had an idea about setting up a business, a food business, or a coffee shop, or a bakery. It just happened, you know, little by little. So yeah. And in Peru, when I got here, of course, I started acting in different theaters. And by that time, I was living with my parents. You know, I was trying to stabilize a bit back in Lima. I had free mornings, so I started cooking for them as a way of saying, hey, thank you. You know, I'm staying with you guys, and this is going to be the way I'm going to pay you, because I wasn't paying them rent. So I started cooking for them from what I learned in England. And I started baking bread as well, you know, like old-fashioned European-style artisanal whole grain, naturally fermented bread. And little by little, it started getting better. And then my cousins and my sisters started asking for bread. And then a friend of mine, after he tried the bread, asked me if I could bake at his restaurant for his service, his bread service. So I thought, yeah, well, this is going to be okay. Officially, I'm going to start selling my bread to a business. So I have to, you know. So I bought an oven. That's where it all started, officially. Like,
now you are known as one of the 25 best bakeries in the world.
That's amazing. You know, we were shocked by that. You know, we weren't expecting that recognition, but suddenly we got this. And sometimes I just get surprised by what we've achieved. So when we got this recognition of being one of the top 25 bakeries in the world by BuzzFeed, we were shocked. You know, we weren't expecting that to happen at all, because as you know, we started from scratch, from nothing, from my parents' kitchen, and it all started growing very little by little, very organically, very naturally, and without realizing it, we were being recognized with these things. And we're proud of what we've done. The evolution of El Pan de la Chola started in La Mar, in this street where we are right now, which used to be a very dodgy, kind of strange, slightly edgy, dangerous street in Miraflores. Miraflores is a very commercial, kind of touristy area, but this was the place not to go to. You know, it was a lot of drug dealing and it was packed with car workshops, car repair workshops. So people just came in to get their cars repaired. And suddenly somebody decided to open a cevicheria as well, like a seafood place for lunch. And it was pretty successful. So people started coming to this street for ceviche, pretty well known for ceviche. But then a friend of mine called me and said, hey, you know, I'm renting this space, and I know you're looking for something to start in Lima to set up your bakery or whatever you're thinking of. And I saw the place and I thought, well, you know, it's a bit of a funny street, but I think it might work. So,
risk.
Because there was nothing like a coffee shop or a bakery or a family, you know, a coffee place around the area. This was the first spot with that kind of vibe. So is this going to work? Are people going to come during the mornings or in the afternoons or in the evenings to buy bread? It's kind of dangerous, you know. But we did it, and little by little, it became well known. And after a few months, we were packed with people, and we expanded. When I came back from London, I looked for European-style breads in Lima. I didn't know if there was any at all. And then one weekend, I was reading a newspaper, and I read that there was a German guy doing some Germanic style bread in Chorrillos, which is a district, you know, not far from here. So I visited him and I met him, and I liked his bread. And so I started going very, very often to buy his bread. We became kind of friends. And he asked me if I was interested in helping him for a while. So I helped him baking. I had already had some experience with my home baking and in England. So I thought, yeah, well, you know, whilst I have some time, I'll help you. But of course, it was a very removed area, and it was very specific. So I kind of learned on the use of rye as a natural starter as well. So we have some Germanic influenced loaves of bread. But then I got the opportunity of flying to America as well. To San Francisco, and so I started getting more influence from a kind of new age artisanal bakeries in San Francisco, California style, and I ended up going there every single year for like 5 years, and just going into different bakeries and asking if I could help them for a few weeks or days or whatever, or just watching their work. And that's how I got to understand different styles and try to find my own style, which is a mix of everything. You know, I'm not unique. We're not unique. You know, we're doing what people are doing in the world. And we are just being very passionate about it and trying to make the best we can out of what we have around us. Yeah, so there's a big European influence in what we do bread-wise in here. You know, we have different names for different kinds of bread. I'd say that we are trying to incorporate locally grown wheat, which is something very rare in Peru, because we are not a wheat growing country, and the kind of wheat we have is not very strong. It's not It's difficult to work with, but we try to do our best to do it and try to stay close to the producers, the farmers, to make sure that their product is working for everybody. And so what we try to do in our loaves is trying to mix different grains like organic wheat, organic rye, and different locally grown wheats as well into the dough. Now, the chola bread is like a country loaf where it has a composition of white flour and some rye and some wheat, house milled as well. We have a stone mill, so we mill our own grains to make sure that they are really fresh and healthy and wholesome. So it's a very versatile bread, you know, the chola bread or the country loaf, which is like the way people call it everywhere. Very versatile. You can eat it with whatever, on its own or just in combination with any kind of veggies or meats or butter or jams or whatever. So yeah, that's the house bread, because it's just, you can have it with everything.
Now, it's like in the gastronomy, there's always an evolution. And even so in bread baking, because nowadays, a lot, even so in gastronomy, they serve fermentation bread, you know? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think we're...
Because it takes a long time to have bread on your table.
Yeah.
What you do with... by fermentation,
yeah,
has to have its time.
Yes, yes. We are big fans of natural fermentation. That's the basis of what we do, and I really love naturally fermented bread. I fell in love with it. I mean, I have nothing against other kinds of baking, you know, and I accept it, and I think, naturally fermented bread is not better than others. You know, I'm done with that. You know, I probably at one point I was like, oh no, naturally fermented bread is everything. You can't eat any other kind of bread. And I was really passionate and a bit arrogant about it. You know, it's like, no, the world is different. You know, there's different necessities in different parts of the world. And I accept the fact that not everything is naturally fermented, but we are very passionate about it. So, I love the flavors that it produces. I love the fact that you need just a few ingredients. The simplicity of what we're doing and the end product, which is so complex in flavors but and in colors and aromas, but at the same time it's just three basic ingredients. So it's simplicity in its, you know, in its at its best. But at the same time, it produces these unique flavors and textures that are loved by the whole world. You know, bread is a world thing now. It doesn't matter if you're not if bread doesn't come from Peru originally. It's just something very, very much into our culture as well. I think we're understanding the benefits of natural fermentation as well. I think that we are understanding that what happens through the processes of natural fermentation is it's a great magic, you know, it's a great chemistry occurring that helps digestion, that helps nutrients to be released in the dough, and it's producing great taste. So it's like the best of what you can get, and we respect that, and we want to promote that in a very simple way, you know, just like, try it.
Tell me about this issue that nowadays, in fact, it's difficult for young people to get into the business, because to be a baker, early in the morning till late at night, work every day to put bread on the table for people, it's a very hard job.
I think that, being a baker is a tough job. You know, it's a really tough job. Not just because you have to be up at, you know, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. You have to try to organize your life around your baking schedule. And that goes against whatever is happening out there. You know, people don't wake up at 3 a.m. People, you know, your family doesn't wake up at 3 a.m. They go to bed at, you know, 10 p.m. And you have to be going to bed at 7-ish, or you're falling asleep in the middle of a family meeting at, you know, at 3 p.m. So you have to really adapt your life around it first. And then you have to be also standing for really long hours, you know, carrying tons of kilos of dough around. It's really tough, and it's also very monotonous in a way, in a funny way. You know, it's not really monotonous, but it's, you have to repeat things every single day. So it seems, it feels like it's very repetitive and monotonous. It's really not, because you are kind of feeling different textures every single day. But you do have to have like a certain personality to be able to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and find a kind of pleasure in that kind of repetition, and trying to force yourself towards perfection in repetition with the same recipe every single day. Of course, many variables change, you know. The temperature is not the same, the humidity is not the same, the flour changes, your whatever, you know, things change. But
what keeps you going?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's something that I've kind of asked to myself. Why am I doing this, you know, every single day? I love it, you know. I did it for a long time, and now I'm not doing it anymore. You know, I have a team of people that help me, and I think that's very important. There has to be an evolution, and you have to teach people, and you have to let go to be able to keep growing and to be able to make your life and your business and your workers' life sustainable. You know, when I was working on my own, that at one point it was not going to be sustainable for much long, you know, because it's just you can't do it. You can't do it on your own, you know, 7 days a week, you know, having crazy hours, standing up for, you know, 16, 18 hours a day. So at some point you have to think about that as well and try to think about sustainability, you know. That's the key for everything, I think. It doesn't make sense to do something great if it's just going to be for, you know, a couple of years or 5 years.
Do you feel it as a challenge every day?
No. No. It's my job, you know. It's my job. You know, things have to be done. I have a responsibility. I enjoy what I'm doing as well. I try to make it joyful. I enjoy being around the people I work with. I enjoy what we're doing, what we're delivering as a company. You know, a good loaf of bread surrounded by different kinds of things. You know, sandwiches, salads, pizzas, coffee, a natural wine, craft, local beer. You know, everything we do, and we are happy with what we're doing. And I think it's tasty. It's heartful. It's responsible as well, and it's good. It's nutritious as well. So we are happy with the end product. I'm happy with my job. You know, I've stopped baking every single day. I'm not using my hands as much as I used to before, but I'm in a different position now, and I'm enjoying it as well. And I want to make this place a great place in every single sense. Sustainable, economically, a sustainable place to work with, you know, people that enjoy their jobs and paying the rent, making money, having lots of customers, and for many, many years. So I think that's the idea, you know.
Your team has to be the most important thing in your business.
It is. I mean, my team is now the most important thing in my business, because I need to trust, you know. And if I don't trust, I won't be able to, you know, go that extra step forward. I only grow and I only decide to do things if I feel that I have a team of people that are going to be able to cope with whatever ideas we have. And that's where we are right now. You know, we've built a team of people, some new people coming in, others that have been with us for more than 8 years now. And we have a great combo that's going to make things work and that give me the confidence to take a risk, to go forward, you know, to think about what's next. But always thinking about, you know, the quality of what we're doing in every single sense, the quality of the people, the quality of life, the quality of the produce, the quality of everything we're doing here.
Tell me about locations, because I thought you had three and you practiced in five.
So yeah, we started 12 years ago with our little small location in Lamar, and then we opened a second shop. One block from the original place. It started as a pizzeria idea, but then it transformed into a brunch, all-day coffee, pizza, bread, sandwich. It's an all-day, you know, everything related to doughs and coffee. Then we opened a third location in a very business-like place in San Isidro. It's close by. It's like 10 blocks from here. So these all three, I can walk through them three times a day if I want to. So it was really nice to be running three businesses in a very close environment. So and then during the pandemic, COVID, we had to organize ourselves in such a way that we really organized our logistics, our internal systems, our softwares, deliveries. And it helped us change the business in a positive way as well, so that we could think about opening other locations, because we were controlling everything in a much more efficient way and in a remote way. So we thought, well, if we've managed to go through this, we might as well open in a further out location. And that's what we did two or three years ago. We opened a location that's further out. It's still in the city, but it's further out, in La Molina. And it's a total success. And it's, you know, it's selling a lot of bread. It's a very small, cozy place. And we're really happy with that. And so we've decided to open a fifth one this year. It's in a different district as well, in Lima. So it's a big challenge. It's a great adventure. But I think that through the last 12 years, we've been very careful, very caring about our brand, our products, and we haven't adventured in going big very quickly, you know. So I think we have a strong base where we can say, we can grow, you know. We can grow, and it's going to be positive. It's going to be good. It's going to be good for us, you know. It's going to make the business better, you know. We're going to be able to invest in more equipment, in more training, and we do want to improve our quality by growing in a responsible way, of course. Peru needs, you know, entrepreneurs. Peru needs people giving it all for Peru, because it's a country that's struggling a lot. It's struggling a lot, and you know, talented people are, you know, getting out of the country. I have a business here, I have my family here, I've lived here, and although I do feel sometimes that I need to get out of here because it's really chaotic and mad and uncertain, I also think, you know, this is where I am, you know, and I'm doing things the right way here, and I do want to stay here, and I think we can go a bit further, hire more people and pay well, provide something good for the people as well.
Yeah, it says a lot about who you are, because if you would have that kind of business in London, you would earn triple money.
Yeah. I think money is important, you know. I have two kids, you know. I want to give them a good education. You know, public education in Peru is shit. It's really bad. It's really sad. And so you need to pay for private education. It's very expensive, you know. transport system is really bad. So you need to have a car. It's much better. You know, it's kind of dangerous sometimes not to have a car. Health is also very bad. Public health is bad. So you need to pay for private health as well. So you need to pay for a lot of things, you know. So money is really important, you know. That's always and everywhere in the world. I'm not driven by money, but my business needs to make money. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And people and the people that work with me and the team, they want to earn more money. They want to, you know, improve their lifestyles. They want to travel. We all want to do that. Of course, our decisions have to be intelligent, but are not driven by money. You know, I invest in things that some people, some money-driven people would say, you're crazy. You shouldn't use these materials because, you know, no, but I love these materials. I think they resemble what we are. You know, you don't need to buy this oven you don't need to buy this product from this farmer in Cajamarca that's going to be really difficult to transport, you know, that those wheat beans from Cajamarca to Lima to mill them in a stone mill that you had to buy from Austria. And it's going to be really expensive, and it might not be the bread quality or the strength you need for a, you know, a beautiful loaf of bread, but you know, we do it because we think it's the right way to do it. You know, we like to support local farmers. We really see that there's something behind those wheat berries, you know, that's very nutritious and that it's very flavorful in our loaf. And we are paying much more than what we would have paid for white flour coming from the U.S. or Canada. But we're still using it. And we are doing a big effort to do it because that's kind of who we are, you know, driven by that. And if that comes with money, excellent. You know, because it has to be sustainable, you know, it has to be sustainable. So we have to work on the finances. We have to work on the logistics, we have to work on the operations, as well as we have to work on the quality of the products and the bread techniques and the oven we buy and everything to make it all work in a very sustainable way.
But Jonathan, do you still have fun in your job?
Yeah. No, I love my job. I really love my job. It's hard, you know, it's really hard. But I love my job, and as I was telling you before, I enjoy coming every morning. You know, I start with my beautiful coffee and a piece of bread that's being freshly baked in-house, roasted coffee that's being home-roasted as well. We're roasting our own coffee as well. It's all Peruvian coffee. So that was a big adventure for us this year. We started with that business. That's big. And I smell a good energy in the place where I work, and I'm very hopeful about the future, and I still have like so many ideas and so many things that I want to do. I keep myself very busy, and I really love that kind of vibe that we live here in La Chola.
So the catering business is the most beautiful business in the world. Positive.
Yes, the catering business is very beautiful. It's very rewarding as well. It's difficult at points, but I love it, you know.
You don't go back to being an actor?
Not now, no.
My last question is, if you could pick out a moment in your life and I can bring you back to that moment that was special to you, that was extraordinary, a moment you will never forget, business-wise or personal, I don't know, what moment would you pick out?
When I finished my engineering degree, I got a job and I went to Chile to work on a retail company as an engineer. And I started getting really frustrated by that, you know. And I think that although it was something that I was already thinking about for a long time, the decision of quitting that job was probably one of the most important decisions in my life, because it meant the end of an era for me and the beginning of a new adventure, which meant that I was gonna grab my bag and travel around the world for a year looking for something. In that journey, I found myself applying for a theater degree in London, where I started cooking at different places and getting to in touch with these beautiful products. And I started understanding a lot about different cultures. And I started understanding a lot about my culture as well, being overseas. And then I decided to come back. And here I started baking. And then after a while, I met my wife through bread that I took to a birthday party. And so she was like, this guy, you know, coming with bread. Who is this guy? And so we met there. And I've managed to build a business that has become my life. And through that, met the people that I love the most in my life. And I have two beautiful children that I can see them every single day, and I can take small breaks to go and stay with them, or they can come here and enjoy what his dad is doing. And yeah, so it was like the moment where the big change happened, you know, and you don't really...
How did you do it? You went to the office?
I went to the office of my boss. I was actually a really good friend of him, and he really believed in me as a human resource. You know, it's like, I want to work with you. Although I was already pretty frustrated, and he knew that. But I told him, you know, I'm confused. I'm stuck. I'm just not really happy with what I'm doing right now. I feel a bit lost in here. And I think I need to take a break and just explore and get lost a bit. Because I've always followed, you know, the right path. You know, I finished school and I went to university. I got my engineering degree. I got a job. And suddenly it was like, oh, shit, you know, what's going on? I don't feel. And I love feeling, you know. So he was like, yeah, man, are you sure? What are you doing, man? You're going to get crazy. And, you know, we have a great opportunity here. But, you know, it's like, no. Fuck it, I'm just going to do it, you know, and maybe I'll come back in 2 years asking for forgiveness, you know, asking for a job, but maybe not, and who cares, it's just going to be a while. And yeah, and so I just left, and the rest is history, yeah. Thank you.
Dit was het voor deze episode. Dank dat jij je abonneert op Spotify, Google of Apple Podcast. Of het YouTube-kanaal van Satellite Gourmet. Blijf up to date via Facebook, Instagram of LinkedIn. Satellite Gourmet is verhalen delen over gastronomie in de breedste zin van het woord. Tot de volgende!